You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week on Home Base Podcast, we got tips and tricks to help you raise a reader. Get your kids reading in your house, get them to love it and live it, and here's how to do it. Stay tuned. Hey, hey guys, welcome to the Home Base Podcast. Oh, we have such a good episode for you guys this week. I've been sitting on this episode idea for a while now, and so I'm finally bringing it to life. I finally did all my research and got all my notes and ideas together, and so I'm super excited. This is a jam-packed episode full of tips and tricks and awesomeness to help promote reading in your household, how to get your kids hooked on reading, and how to make it a lifelong love. And this is all coming from someone who lives and breathes and loves books. I have a problem. My husband is trying to keep our house normal, but I'm pretty sure our house is probably going to end up being one of those houses with like floor-to-ceiling bookcases just all over the place and books piled everywhere, because it's kind of my slight obsession. But that's okay. That's a good obsession. It could be worse. I think it's pretty good. So that's what we're focusing on today. And I wanted to get out of the way here at the beginning. I normally go over it all at the end, but in case you guys get busy and don't make it to the end, we're going to get it all out of the way at the beginning of where you can find the podcast at, how you can listen to it, and what you need to be following, because I have awesome content out there, and it's not just whatever we talk about this week. Like, I have separate awesome content, and if you're not following along, then you don't know what you're missing. So if you're fans of the podcast, need to get with it. All right, so where can you find us? You can find us on iTunes, and please subscribe. That way you guys don't miss an episode, because we are getting into almost to 20 episodes. It's getting exciting. And once you get to so many episodes, you get like a cap in iTunes, and they don't post them all on there unless you're subscribed to that podcast. So make sure you subscribe so you can see all of the past episodes, as well as never missing a current one. And another awesome thing, there's a plane going by. I'm sorry if that gets picked up on here. Another awesome thing, if you subscribe, my husband's going to add to the sound effects. Thanks, babe. Another great thing, if you are a subscriber, you can save episodes. So if there's one that you're like, oh, I really like this, maybe your kids are really young and you want to save this episode this week, the reading episode, and you want to save it and keep coming back to it as they get older, you can do that. And then even if something were to happen to that episode, it'll always be there. And you can also share them with your friends, which is awesome, because we need to start sharing the podcast, get it out there. Which brings us to our next thing. Go leave some reviews. Leave me some lovin', let me know how things are doing, and that way we can get higher up in the iTunes store and we can share the podcast with more people. What else? You can go homebasepodcast.com is the official website, and you can find links to everything there. You can find every podcast episode there, all sorts of additional content that I post. You can find links to my Pinterest. You can find links to Twitter. Go follow on Twitter and Instagram at Homebase Podcast, because I'm really knocking it out of the park on Twitter and Instagram, I must say. So don't go miss out on any of that awesomeness going on over there. And if you are a big book nerd, you're definitely going to want to go check out the Instagram, because me and my son are pretty big library book junkies. And I'm always posting pictures of, like, our favorite books that we've checked out and read and have met our approval rating, which is, I've got to say, pretty high. So, go check it out if you need some book recommendations. Go check us out on Instagram. All right. So, what's been going on this week? What's been going on? We had Pumpkin Festival this week. That was really awesome. We got to go pick out a free pumpkin and get some free food and temporary tattoos and face painting. And what else do they have? They had like all the fire trucks and police cars out there. And they had a big dump truck and a snow plow and a tractor. And so that was super cool. My little 10-month-old, he got his first little kid's fire hat, the little plastic hat they give you, you know, and he got to sit up in the driver's seat, and then we took his picture. It was so precious. So that was really fun. Fun times. Fun little fall time. Getting our little fall festival on. So that was exciting. What else have we been doing this week? That's really pretty much about it. Just getting outside, enjoying the gorgeous fall weather and all the leaves. We're here in the Midwest, so our leaves just started changing this week. I know if you're up north, you've probably gotten it already, and you're down south, you're like, it's still green here. It's coming your way. It is coming, but it's been gorgeous all week. We've been like in the 70s, and our leaves are changing, and everything's just that beautiful, crisp, breezy fall. I love it. Love it, love it. So, yeah, that's what we've been up to this week. Pretty awesome, pretty awesome. Made some more pumpkin cookies. I think I talked about them a few episodes ago. Those things are so delicious. Sally's baking addiction. Seriously, go follow her wherever, especially Pinterest. She's awesome. She just had a new book come out, which is like her candy addiction or something, which is, you don't even want to know. Like, it's kind of an issue. But they're so delicious. So, so delicious. And it's getting really sad. Like, my 10-month-old, since they're pumpkin, they've got like oats and, they normally have craisins is what I've done before, and I didn't have any craisins this week, so I did golden raisins because it's what we had in the house, and I did white chocolate chips, and so I just kind of pick around the chocolate chips, but I give him like little pieces of it, and if I'm eating one and I don't give him a bite, he like has an entire meltdown. It's just so sad and pathetic, but what are you gonna do? He's got mama's sweet tooth and daddy's sweet tooth, actually. We're kind of sweets-centered family. All right. So, hey, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back to get into our How to Raise a Reader tips this week. Stay tuned. Hey, guys. We're back. All right, so let's get in. I'm so excited. There's so many tips I want to go over, and so I'm just going to dive right into it because I might be pushing this episode kind of long this week. So we're just going to go. So tip number one, and it's super obvious, and you guys all know that I am a super library addict. I'm pretty sure I bring it up almost every episode. But the library is so awesome, and it really makes me sad because I feel like some people feel that libraries need to just go by the wayside because of ebooks and everything's online and blah, 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 blah. No, libraries are awesome and they need to stay here forever. And so here's a bunch of reasons why you need to go to the library and what the library can do for you. So I've told you guys about awesome events that we've done at the library, and those are super stellar and great. So just a couple things. When you go to the library, make sure you go pick up a calendar if they have a printout of their calendar of events. If they don't, most of them have some kind of calendar online that at least tells you like when their story time hours are. Even if you are in like a rural area and your library is really small, most libraries at least have a story time hour. So at least know when that is so you can take your kids to story time, because I can't tell you how much fun it is as a child to just have someone else read to you other than your family. Not that your silly voices that you do to your kids aren't awesome, but it's really fun. It is really fun to take your kids somewhere. And honestly, I have found some of those librarians, they do just an absolutely stellar job of story time. Like, most of them are just so fearless and have no problem being absolutely ridiculously silly. So it's really fun. And so make sure you go pick up a calendar. I normally pick ours up and I bring it home and I just write everything down that is age appropriate for my son, which isn't much because he's only 10 months, but I just write it all down on our big calendar we have at home. And then I can just reference it and everything's right there. So grab a calendar, get involved, whether it's a book club or some kind of special craft or activity they got going on, or just stop by the reference desk and say, hey, you know, do you guys need volunteers for anything? Most libraries, and I've worked at a couple, and everyone I worked at, they totally need volunteers. They need people to go through books and just put them back on shelves, basically. A lot of their workers are busy doing, you know, repairing books and tracking down fines and checking books in and out. And sometimes, like, the shelving them process is one of those things that the librarians, because of their knowledge, they're just better used in different areas than shelving. And so volunteers to do that is really great. And then what's really cool about it, so I used to do that for a while, and what I loved about it is you got to see so many different books. And I always, like, requested to shelve in the kids section, and I just found so many books that I was like, oh, okay, I need to make a mental note. And I just got to where I started, like, bringing a notebook with me, and I would just write down titles, and I'm like, okay, I need to check this out. Or I would just make a pile. I would make a pile on the rack that I was rolling around and on the little cart, and I'm like, okay, this is my to-check-out pile. But it's great, and it's really fun. So you can do that, and I'm not quite sure about, like, volunteering with kids, but they might let you, like, bring your kids along, especially if they're older, absolutely. But I'm not sure if they're younger, they might let you bring them, they might not. But so go get involved in your library. Make going to the library a routine. So I feel like anything is easier to do when it's a routine, obviously, and I just try to make an agenda. We try to go once a week. Sometimes it depends. Like, if I get, like, this last time we went, I think I checked out, like, 15 books, picture books. And so I just wait until we've read all of the books, and then we just take them back, and we get a whole new set. So we have, like, a book bag, and I load that sucker up with books, and we just make it a routine. So every time we're out of books, we go get more. But I mean, you could even make it a day, like, say you're going to go every single Wednesday or every other Wednesday or something, or figure out when their story hour is and make that your day you go to the library. But make it a routine. Then it's something your kids are going to know is coming, and they can look forward to it and just get excited. Don't forget, the library is not just for books in this day and age. And this is one of the main reasons, not one of the main, but it's one of the reasons why libraries should not go to the wayside. Because they have movies, they have audiobooks, they've got magazines. I don't know about you, but magazines are so expensive. And typically what happens is I buy them and then they just float around my house. And like 6-9 months later, I still haven't finished reading them. And I end up just throwing them away. It's just ridiculous. Or, you know, I give them to my niece and nephew or somebody to do like an art project with or something. But a lot of those magazines are like getting to where they're like $6-$10 a piece. Especially, and then they've got like the collector issues of stuff, and it's just getting out of hand. Go to your library. They're like subscribed to everything, and then you can see every like current issue. And I have found like our library, it is a really nice library, but I have found that there's a lot of magazines I've never even heard of that they have, which is really cool, especially for like parents and stuff. There's a lot of different like parenting magazines that you just don't see on shelves anywhere in stores because there's just not a demand for it. And so definitely go check out the magazine section at your local library. You might be seriously surprised. A tip kind of to go along with that. So when I was at the library, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So A few weeks ago, I told you guys about this awesome, like, festival they had at the library, and I took my son. He got to meet Clifford and get his face painted, and we did all sorts of stuff. It was great. And there was this little booth there, and I was asking the lady, I'm like, oh, what's this booth about? And she's like, oh, this is the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten booth. I'm like, oh, please do tell. And she was, so basically, you sign up, and you sign up with your library, and I am not certain at all if all libraries do this. I know that ours does. But here's the thing. You can totally do this at home. This is so easily adapted to at home. It's so easy. But I love the idea. And actually, we're going to continue it even after our notebook is full. But so basically, you sign up and they give you a notebook. And it's just like this line notebook. And each line is numbered. And at the top, it says title, author, and date. And basically, your goal is to read 1,000 books before your kid goes to kindergarten. So we started at a really, 10, I think he was like 8, 9 months or whenever when we got this. So we started, we're a really good age to get that achieved in time. But even if your kids are already in kindergarten, I totally recommend just starting one. Yourself, just get a notebook and just start logging every book your kid reads. One, I think it's a really kind of cool little scrapbook, I guess, like journal or diary or something, because the lady was telling me, she's like, you could read the same book 1,000 times. She's like, it doesn't matter. She's like, just the goal is to read 1,000 books. And I thought, well, how cool would that be? Like, so if my son develops a favorite book as he gets older, and you can flip through the pages and go, oh, look, when he was age 3, he read this book like 20 times. Like, oh, that was his favorite. You know, I just think it'll be really cool to kind of look back on. And I'm such a book nerd. Like, there's books from when I was a kid that I don't remember at all the name or the author, or I mean, no way, but I just remember the books, and I can't find them anywhere. I don't know what to look for, and I would kill to have a notebook that had all of the books in it I read. I would just love that. So super cool idea, and I thought it was super awesome. So she gave us this notebook, and we're all signed up, and what's really awesome about it is, like, there's different, like, achievements as you go. So, like, once you get to 50 books, you get to go in and get, like, a sticker or something. Once you get to 100, you get to go pick out some little toy. I think once you get to 500, you get to actually pick out a book. And then once you get to 1,000, I think you get another book or something like that. But so I thought, that's super cool. And then if you do it just at home yourself with, like, a spiral notebook or something, you could totally choose what the achievements are. When I was a kid, my parents would take us to the bookstore, and they would just buy us a book, and they'd say, you can get another book when you've finished that one. And I was such a big reader that I was like, challenge accepted. And I would go through those books, like, in a couple days, and we would keep having to go to the library, or not the library, but to the bookstore and buy new books. So, I mean, you could look at it that way. You could set up, you know, every time they read a book, or read 10 books, you get a book, or, finish a book and you get a, 30 minutes of TV time or something. I don't know. You could totally make this suit whatever, you have going on in your life and whatever reward system you want to put with it. But I think it's a great initiative, and I think it'll be a super awesome keepsake down the road. But she handed with us, with the book, these cool tips, to top 10 ways to create a reader. And I try not to honestly just read stuff to you guys on here. I try to at least, like, personalize it a bit. And I have my own tips I'm adding to this list, but seriously, this list is so good. And so some of this I just want to share with you guys. But tip number one on here, now that I'm caught back up to my original little tangent, tip number one is, when you do go to the library, to let them check out more than one book. So, like, we check out a ton of books, but even as he gets bigger, I'm always going to let him check out more than one. And the reason for that is there's something a little scary about picking up a book and an author that you just don't know. I mean, yes, it's really exciting sometimes because you're like, oh, it's new. This could be really great. But then there's that little, like, fear in the back of your head of, like, this could totally blow. And I don't want to be stuck reading this book, you know, if I just don't like it. So let them check out multiple things. That way, if they start something, they don't like it, they can pick something else. I definitely encourage that for kids when they're in the picture book stage, because then if you just pick out one book, you're going to be reading them that same book 5-10 times a day for however many days in a row that you keep that book. And then also, that also avoids one book getting a ton of quote-unquote love put on it. You know what I mean? Because there's those books when you go down the library, you can see, like, oh, that book has gotten a lot of love. So if you check out multiple books, your kids are less likely to focus in on one book and just really love on it all that week. And when I mean love, I mean rip pages or bend or tear or spill or drop or, you know. So let them check out more than one. Let them check out multiples. All right, so moving on to our tip number two, and I kind of touched on this actually, but let them read what they want, even if it's magazines, comic books, graphic novels, I mean, within reason. If they're interested in sports or something, help them find books pertaining to that. But if kids are interested in something, they're going to read about it, because reading is knowledge. You know, I always get on my husband all the time, because he used to be this super big reader when he was in high school. And now I'm like, you never even crack open a book. But that's so not true. He spends hours poring over different, you know, online magazines and websites and stuff. I mean, he's reading. He's just reading what is interesting to him. He loves reading the news like a weirdo. Love you, babe. So let kids read what they're interested in, because that's going to just spur on more growth and more knowledge and that thirst for knowledge. And you want to just, you want to nurture that. Tip number three, we want to, and this one is so, so simple, but I think a lot of people, they just don't even think about it, but read books other than what is your kid's school homework. So once your kids start getting into, like, first and second grade, their teachers are going to start having a required reading that they have to do, and that might be a chapter a night or a couple chapters a night. But typically what happens is these teachers, they have this list of books that they can pick from, and they either pick out a book and they get, you know, 20 copies of that book, so the kids are all reading the same book, or they may even just give you this list and say, pick out a book and read it. But I encourage you to read other things besides that required reading at school. There's something about kids that do struggle with reading, that just aren't interested in it, when it is tied to school, for some reason, I'm sure there's this psychological reason to it, but for some reason, it just, they don't want to do it. It drags them down. It's like they're already going into it with this bad mindset. So I encourage you, find things to read. I mean, obviously read your recommended and required reading for school, but find other things too. And I do recommend with boys, because I've worked a lot with boys in, like, the second and third grade area, and it's like they either love reading at that age or they just hate it because they just can't sit still. And so I really recommend, if you do have a boy and girls, I feel like girls, for some reason, we love our books. It's not as much of a challenge with girls, but I don't want to exclude anyone. If you have a kid that just doesn't want to read, and they do have the required reading at school, maybe find something more light for them to read. Maybe do a magazine, or maybe do a graphic novel, something that's more pictures than words. And that's where I love the power of narrating. It's just so, it's so wonderful. If you teach your kids to read books that don't have a lot of words with so much narration, it's so great. I love, Alexandra Day does the Carl books. the picture books, like the good dog Carl. It's the big Rottweiler that like protects the baby wherever the baby goes. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, you should go check out the Carl books by Alexandra Day. They're some of my favorites. But they don't have any words in them. They're just all pictures. But, I mean, you see this story unfolding through the pictures. And I love them because this is such an opportunity for you to read to your kids and teach them how to narrate and pick up on things. And I love that. So if you implement that at a young age and teach them how to do that, then when they get older and they do read things like graphic novels, they're going to add their own kind of narration and flavor to it. And really, that's, I mean, it's reading. It's a different kind of reading, but it is reading. So don't forget about that. And another tip is if you have a book that you're, and the teachers out there are probably going to cringe when I say this, but I think it's important to get kids to read no matter what. And I hate it when teachers say this is the book you have to read, especially at a young age. When you get older and in high school, obviously there's some books that you just have to read. They're required, like Romeo and Juliet for some reason is always like freshman year. But at a young age, most of them are just going off a list. And if your child just absolutely cannot stand the book you're reading, ask them if maybe you guys can take a look at that list and pick something else and just see if they can work with you. It never hurts to ask, and it may really help your child at the time. And if you are reading something at home, check and see if it's on the list. You know, two birds, one stone. Great. All right, guys, so moving on. Make reading a routine. I said this earlier of going to the library, but you need to make reading at home a routine. So if it is part of their homework, or I highly recommend everybody just have a family reading time. It's so wonderful, and it's some of the best times I remember as a kid is when we all sat in the living room and just read together. And it can be our own books individually, or it can just be a family book and you take turns reading it, or everybody has the same book and one person reads out loud and you follow along. That's a really great way to do it, I think, because I'm one of those people, I have to see it. If I'm just listening to it, sometimes I drift off, I get in my own thoughts, and I've missed like an entire chapter. So I really love like those families, and that's where your library comes really in handy, because you could just purchase the book and then go get multiple copies of it from the library and borrow them and then read them together as a family. That way you're not, you know, buying, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 copies of a book. So that's an idea. But reading out loud to your kids, that is another tip on here. Reading out loud to your kids is just, oh, it's so great. And there is actually a book out there, and I'm like halfway through reading it, and I wanted to get it completely read before I did this episode, but I just really wanted to share this all with you guys, so I didn't get it done. But it's called The Read Aloud Handbook, and you should go check it out. Some of the statistics in there are super crazy, including it talks about this family in there, and their child scored a perfect score on the ACT, and it was like only 1 of 6 kids in the country that did that 1 year. And when they approached the family to interview them, they asked them, you know, what test prep courses did you do? What books and stuff? And the family said, we didn't do anything. Like, we've just been reading out loud to our kids for years. And it just has really grown their brain. And they're so smart. And so their reading comprehension and fluency is just off the charts. So read out loud to your kids. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful way to spend some family time. And you don't have to do it every night. You know, set aside one night and read out loud. Or, you know, make a book club out of it. Set aside one day a week and say, you know, we're going to everybody read your 3 chapters and be ready to discuss them this night. You know, get really creative with it. Next tip here we have is to, and I love this tip, is to hook your child on a book series where they can follow familiar characters and various adventures. Even as adults, we enjoy book series. I mean, I have an obsession with Agatha Christie, and I love Hercule Poirot, and I cannot tell you every single time I have read easily probably 20, 30 of his books. I'm spacing on how many there are. I know there's a lot, but I have read a lot of them, and I just, every time I open one up and I start reading about the funny little egg-shaped man and his crazy mustache, I get this warm, fuzzy feeling, and it's like I'm just meeting up with an old friend. There's something so comforting about book series, and so a great way to get your kids reading is to get them hooked on one. And it seems like that is the very popular thing right now in this day and age. It seems like every author out there is writing a book series. I personally find it slightly frustrating because I'll find a book I really like and I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I look at the shelf and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like one of six books. Like, do I really want to commit this? But it is a really great way to get your kids to read. So steer them towards that direction when you are at the library or at your local bookstore. Let them read books below their reading level. This one I thought was really interesting, but it makes sense. This helps improve fluency and makes reading a pleasure. That's really key, especially when your kids are younger, because there's a big difference between like picture books and early readers and chapter books. And, you know, there's the steps there are way more close together, whereas then you get to like, you know, teen, and that's spans, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8 years, and then you get into adult, obviously, and you're grown up. Nowhere else to advance to except maybe the classics or psychology or something super in depth. But so, especially when your kids are young, let them read below their reading level, because those are going to contain words that they're really comfortable with. And a lot of those younger reading levels, the sentence structure is simpler. It just has a flow that is easier to digest. And that might just make them more comfortable and more confident readers. And that is a key word right there. I can't tell you how many kids I've seen that they shy away from reading because they just don't have the confidence to do it, because they worry they're going to stumble over a word and be embarrassed about it. And there's nothing to be embarrassed about. We all have to learn to read. There's still words that I can't read. I'm constantly like going over to my husband and being like, how do you say that? But actually, I have an iPhone, so I just ask Siri. I tell Siri how to ask her to pronounce things for me all the time. She's great. So that's a great tip right there. We already talked about reading out loud to them, but let's just kind of see what it is here. Read out loud to them. Just because kids can read themselves doesn't mean you should stop reading to them. It supports parent-child bonding and reinforces the connection between reading and pleasure. When you do read aloud, do so slowly to give your child time to process new words and information. And that's where I say having the book in front of you, like your own copy of what someone is reading to you, is really, really helpful, because if there is a new word that they're learning and they've never heard it before, it is really great to see it too in print. So I really encourage everybody, and like I said, you don't have to buy a copy of it. Go to the library, get your own copy of it there. Next one up here, we have allow your kids to listen to audiobooks. And I love this for all of you people out there that travel a lot or do a lot of family vacations. Make that your time to like pick out a family book that you're going to listen to in the car. Children can listen to books above their independent reading level because their listening comprehension is higher than their reading comprehension. I don't think many people know that or just don't seem to understand it. So you really can kind of push your kids by letting them listen to audiobooks, because they really do. Their listening comprehension is off the charts compared to their reading. This introduces them to rich stories told with expression. A lot of audiobooks, the readers have lots of fun voices. They're very expressive. It is hard, I will say, because, like I said, I love Agatha Christie, and I've done a lot of her audiobooks as well. And because she has so many books, I mean, the woman wrote like 84 books, depending whether or not you count her romance novels under her pseudonym. But she has so many different people narrate the books because she wrote so many over such a large span of time. So I have found that there's some people that narrate that I love, and then there's others that I can't stand. But that stinks because you want to hear the story. So I will tell you, it is sometimes trial and error. I love it when you come across books that are narrated by the author. I highly recommend those because I just think the author gives their own book its true voice, and they read it in the way that they meant for it to be read, and it's just, it gives it an entirely different color and feeling, and I just really recommend that. It's a great. Alternatively, pair the print book with its audio companion. Look at that. See? Haha. I'm giving you guys tips, and I'm so smart. I'm already ahead of this little pamphlet here. Then they'll get to see the words as they read, increasing vocabulary. Larger vocabularies make better readers. Listening also allows struggling readers a chance to relax into a story and enjoy it instead of worrying about and working to decode the text. I cannot stress how many times I've just seen kids just be so embarrassed because they can't read something, and it shouldn't be embarrassing at all. We already covered that. All right, last tip here in this little pamphlety thing, and I've been doing some of my tips intermixed in, so you guys will never know. But I love this. This really hits home for me because my ultimate dream goal in life is to be a published picture book author. That's just my all-time love, and it's my biggest hobby is collecting picture books and biggest obsession. So needless to say, when my son was born, he already had quite an extensive picture book collection, and I just added 25 more books to it today because the library was having a big, huge, major book sale, and they were handing out grocery bags, reusable grocery bags from Whole Foods, and if you paid $8, you could fill that bag with as many books as you wanted. So you better believe I paid my $8, and I came home with 25 more picture books and a couple others. So, cha-ching. So this tip right here is let your kids read picture books. These books can span all ages. They're not just for preschool age children. In fact, many of them contain more rare words, so like a wider, more dense vocabulary, and subtle humor that younger kids won't get, but school-age children will get, and adults. I still love reading Harold and the Purple Crayon. It just takes me back to my childhood in such a warm and fuzzy, lovely, lovely way. Another great tip is to keep books everywhere so that they're readily available to your children. And that's why I say we have books all over our house. I love my dad made for me these two because he's quite the little carpenter and handyman. And he got into this phase of making lampstands out of cigar boxes. And one day I just said offhand, I'm like, hey, instead of cigar boxes, like, so he would stack them up on top of each other and he would drill down the center and put the pole through the middle. I told him one day, I'm like, you should do books. That would be so cool. And so he, you know, went out to this place that had books that were super, super old and they just needed a home. And he found these really colorful, beautiful leather-bound ones. And so I have two lamps that are just giant stacks of books, and I love them. They're awesome. But we do. We have books all over the house. They're on our end tables, our floor. They're all over the place, stacked up around the TV. But if you have them out, it's a visual reminder for your kids to read, 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 read. And it's a visual reminder for you to read too. Which brings us to our next tip, and it is probably the biggest one, is you have to lead by example. If you're not reading, your kids aren't going to read. They're not going to think it's important. They're not going to value it. I am a huge advocate of teaching people to value their books. So like my son, he has all sorts of board books, and I let him do and treat his board books however he wants. But when it comes to like the picture books that have pages that you can rip and tear, I sit him in my lap and we read them together. Or I love reading to him when he has, whenever he's eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and he's in his high chair. I always bring a couple books to the table, and we read them while he's sitting there. He's attentive, he's happy, he's eating, and he can see the pictures and listen, and he's contained. He's not trying to, like, chew on the corners. So I am a huge advocate of people showing respect and teaching that respect to your kids, to books. When I was a teacher, books were never allowed to be thrown or tossed on the floor. If I saw a book on the floor and kids walking over top of it, I had a cow. Books meant to be placed on the shelf or in a nice bin or someplace. And so I think it's really important to teach that respect and that reverence for books. And you need to do that by leading from example. Your kids need to see you reading. They need to see you putting your cell phone down and turning off the TV and spending some time in a book. And when they see that and they see that you're turning off things that obviously they're going to value the television and they're going to understand the value of your phone. And when they see you setting those things aside to spend time reading, they're going to see that, wow, that's important. This must be something really awesome. Another cool idea to kind of drive that home. So I saw this on a blog, oh gosh, years ago, and I pinned it on Pinterest because I just thought the idea was insanely brilliant, and I can't wait to start doing it once our son gets older. But so this family, to really help get their kids into reading, they would give their kids extended bedtimes only if they went and sat up in their bed and read. So like their kids' bedtime would be, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. But if they were going to go read, they could go get their jammies on, be completely ready for bed, and get in their bed with their book, and they could read an extra half an hour or something. And so then their bedtime would be 7:30. And I thought that's such a great incentive because kids, they want to stay up as late as they can. And so if you tell them, oh, you can stay up, but you're reading, you know, it just like spurs that longing of, okay. Reading must be really, really fun because you get to stay up to do it. And she actually said in the blog, she said that the more kids they had, their younger ones actually started reading before the older ones did at that age because they wanted to stay up later too. So it was like this big incentive, and I just think it was such a cool idea, and what a great way to help your kids kind of wind down for the night. And I'm so jealous of probably the awesome dreams that these children have because they're going to sleep with their minds so full of wonder. And I bet they sleep really soundly too. Every time I try to read before bed, I get so tired and I sleep so soundly. So great way there to help instill that and just some extra incentive. Another great tip is let your kids reread books. I would get so frustrated when I was a teacher because my class, we would go to the library once a week, and they all checked out the same books every single week, and it drove me crazy. And if they didn't check out the same book, then another child checked out that book that they, I mean, we had like the same 20 books in our classroom every week. Sometimes they would alternate owners, but it was the same books. And it drove me crazy because we always read the books out loud in the classroom at the end of the day. So I cannot tell you how many times I have read the picture book, The Halloweener, because the kids would always pick that one out because they thought it was a funny title and it's about a dog. But I soon learned that they were more excited to read. They were more excited to sit in circle time and hear that book read out loud because it was familiar. They knew how it was going to go. And it really ended up being so great and so wonderful. So let your kids read familiar books. Let them reread things. It just really, like I said, it instills that whole relationship and the familiarity of characters. It's just great. All right, guys, so that's our list of tips. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and do the parenting hack of the week and our mommy mantra. So stay tuned. Guys, we're back. So I told you at the beginning of the episode where you can find the podcast at and follow along with stuff. So if you weren't paying attention, go back to the beginning and re-listen to that. Our parenting hack this week is this great sensation that is taking over the world. There's actually some of these located in other countries, which I think is just so cool. So they're little free libraries, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about, they are majorly awesome. It is basically, it looks like a little, I don't know, it's just this little box with a glass window. Most of them have like a little roof. It kind of looks like a big birdhouse, I guess, with a little glass door. But basically, so there are these little boxes that appear up on the road in housing additions, in communities. And when you open the little door, there's books inside. So what's really cool is you leave a book and you take a book, or you take a book and leave a book. Sometimes we take like two or three books and maybe there isn't anything interesting, and so we don't take anything. And then the next time we come, we don't have any books with us, but there's something we like, so we take something. Just as long as you're kind of, you know, contributing with your take. Don't just be a taker. But there are these free libraries in your neighborhoods, and you can keep the books forever. You don't have to bring them back, but you do want to try and contribute to them. So it's a great place to take your books that are used and donate them to a great cause, other people in your neighborhood. It's awesome. So these are popping up everywhere, and they're really great. We have two now. We just got another one that opened up down the road in the opposite direction than our other one that's on the other side of the road. So we actually walk to our little free libraries all the time, and I just went through all my books, and I have two enormous boxes full of books that I wanted to donate or get rid of. And so I was like, you know what? I was like, we're just going to slowly take these to the little free libraries, and once it gets to winter and it's too cold to go to them, then we'll just take them to the library and donate them. But so how do you find a little free library? How do you see if there's one in your neighborhood? You go to littlefreelibrary.org. They have a map. You can put in your zip code and see if there's one in your neighborhood. And like I said, there's some in other countries. It's really awesome. It's really taking over, and it's a great movement to get books and reading out there to anyone and everyone. So you get on the map and maybe you see, oh, there isn't one in my neighborhood or in my area. Well, what do? Then you start one. So there's instructions online of how you can make your own little free library. They highly recommend that you just have someone design a box for you. The first step, though, is you want to go and find a little free library and kind of talk with the person that is the steward of that library. So most of the ones that are, you know, the ones that are online on the map are ones that people have logged in and confirmed it, and they've put their name on there, so you'll know who to contact. But so you can go contact them and talk to them kind of about their process and get some tips and stuff. But you can also just see one and see what it looks like. And then you can have someone make one for you. If you know someone who's crafty like that, that's a craftsman, can work with some wood, you can have them make one. Or you can go on littlefreelibrary.org. They have a catalog and you can buy one and have it shipped to you. And you can assemble it and start one that way. So anyone can start one. Anyone can do it. It's not a major financial contribution. I think I was just perusing quickly the ones online on the catalog, and there's some I think as cheap as like $100, and there's some that are super, super cool and super fancy that, you know, are like, you know, $500 and above. So it really is just kind of what you want to put into it, but it's really cool. Some little free libraries, like the stewards of them, they get really into it and they put like a bench out there, or you know, they kind of maintain it, put a little flower garden or something. I mean, it's really cool and it's this really awesome movement. So if you're interested in finding one or making one, go to littlefreelibrary.org. All right, our quote this week. It was so hard for me to narrow down a reading literacy quote because there's just so many that I love because I think they're just so unbelievably true, but I really fell in love with this one I want to share with you. It's from Carl Sagan, and here we go. What an astonishing thing a book is. It's a flat object made from a tree with flexible parts on which are imprinted lots of funny dark squiggles. But one glance at it and you're inside the mind of another person. Maybe somebody dead for thousands of years, across the millennia. An author is speaking clearly and silently inside your head, directly to you. Writing is perhaps the greatest of human inventions, binding together people who never knew each other, citizens of distant epochs. Books break the shackles of time. A book is proof that humans are capable of working magic. I love that. That is how I feel about books and about reading. It is this magical, wonderful world, and I swear I could like tear up right now. I kind of am. It's just so magical, and it breaks my heart to see kids that just don't experience the magic for one reason or another. And every child, there's a book out there for every single one. They just maybe haven't found it yet. Maybe they haven't found their genre. Maybe they just haven't found their niche. I think it's a shame because it really is just so beautiful. And the people that really get into reading are the ones that are just, they're allowing their mind to be open and to grow in such a beautiful, lovely way. So that quote will be up on the website. It'll be on Instagram. It'll be on Twitter. You guys can see it everywhere. And if you want to see it right now, go over to my Pinterest board and it will be pinned on there as well. All right, you guys have a fantastic week and go, go, go. Hup to get those little readers reading, get them interested. Make sure you guys save this episode, send it to your friends, send it to your teachers, your kids' teachers. Just share it, save it, love it. And I'll see you guys next week for another episode of Home Base Podcast. Bye-bye.